PodcastOne.com presents the Ask Women Podcast.
Uh-huh.
A place where two female comics and a professional wing girl get together to dissect the female mind.
You don't know how I feel.
And explain it to men in terms they can actually understand.
Boobs.
Now, here's the lovely ladies of Ask Women.
Welcome to the Ask Women Podcast, where you get advice straight from the source.
Women.
I'm Haley White, here with my lovely co-host, relationship expert, and best-selling author, Marnie Kinross.
Hi.
And fabulous comedian, Kristen Carney.
Hey, guys.
And, of course, bringing up the men's point of view, our producer, Mo.
Yep.
What up? I love it. I love your voice. I think it is so sexy.
I'm a little
right
sick
now,
so it's a little bit huskier than normal.
Fantastic. Keep it up.
Thanks.
It turns me on. I like it.
I love that you're turned on by it.
Well, so last night, girls, we had a fantastic experience. We were on Loveline with Psycho Mike and Dr. Drew.
More like Hot Mike.
I know, seriously.
Very
good looking and super intelligent. It's crazy because you look at him at first, you're like, you don't know what you're talking about. And then you're like, you know everything.
It was weird, too, because he's you know, kind of has a reputation for being this wild guy, but he is very good at what he does.
Yeah.
I was blown away.
But you can get pieces of that from him because, like, when we got there, he didn't introduce himself by saying, like, hey, I'm Mike. He was just like, so I have diarrhea and it's liquid right now.
And he was telling us that he has a problem where when he goes to the bathroom, he always has to pee too.
So men take note, we were all very attracted to him.
Yes, very turned on talking about
this. Is how you introduce yourself.
Yes, do it. Just go try it now.
That's how
whenever
he
meet women. Well, actually,
he has such white teeth, he can get away with it.
I know.
You know.
Well, I wanted to talk to you guys about first impressions with them, but obviously we're going into this naturally. But what about Dr. Drew?
I met Dr. Drew on Saturday at Maria Menounos' party because I get invited to things that are very important.
You're so fabulous.
Fancy, I know.
Thanks.
Seriously.
And Max Zapata from Corolla Studio, if anyone's listening, listens to Adam Carolla. He's a producer on The Corolla Show. His name's not Max Zapata, but that's what they call him. But he introduced me to Dr. Drew, and when he did, I thought because I was getting introduced to Dr. Drew through someone who produces his show over at Corolla's Network that it was going to be very, oh, hey, how's it going? Oh, you're coming on Monday. Cool, let's chit-chat. But he was like very like, hello, I'm Dr. Drew. Nice to meet you. Okay, hello, goodbye. And I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be so awkward on Monday because I just thought he was going to be really uptight. And
really?
Then when we met him at the studio, I was like,
no.
Was that a different guy at the party on Saturday?
He was in party mode
where, you know, people circle around someone important and they try to talk to them. So he's probably keeps himself a little bit at a distance. Mm-hmm. But he was very cool and very easy to talk to. Well, and it was nice getting analyzed off air by him or helped.
Yeah, he was giving us
sure.
advice.
For sure. Yeah. Well, we've talked about it offline before about Dr. Drew, because I think that he is super sexy. I think he's very attractive. I love the way that he carries himself. And
he's got huge guns,
but wears stonewash colored jeans, white sneakers, and like a polo white shirt.
Right.
He's very awkward, but yet he's still very attractive.
Sexy.
So can you tell me more about why he's sexy and what's sexy about him?
Because he's intelligent, and I feel like he solves everyone's problems. That's so sexy to me.
So sexy.
Yeah, and because he has nothing to prove at this point in his mm-hmm. life, he can sit back. You know, we were taping the podcast, and anyone can see this if you go like watch it, the live video stream. But he had the mic up, almost like holding it on his chest, leaning back in his chair, like he's like the cool senior in high school, and texting the whole time. And so he's got this kind of air around him that he's multitasking in his brain so easily that he's probably looking something up on the news, but yet can still
be
analyze
in it.
Yeah. And that's cool. It's just like the cool vibe. He's like 8 years younger than my mom, and I'm like,
really?
Yeah, it's so weird because my mom's older, you know,
right.
And he doesn't seem older. Not that my mom looks great, but I'm just saying, you know, he doesn't seem like he's this baby boomer type.
It feels like he could do it in his sleep too. It was funny to watch him like texting, and every time he would start talking, I was like, I couldn't believe he was following that whole thing.
Yeah.
The whole question.
And he was in his element. And he wasn't trying to prove himself. Because I will say, okay, so you have the two guys, Psycho Mike and Drew. Psycho Mike is freaking sexy. He's very good looking, but I found myself wanting to impress Drew more have him want me more.
Same here.
Rather than the hot guy.
Agreed.
Yeah, and I think it's the wisdom. It's the, you know, it's like if you lived in medieval times, would you be attracted to the king or the prince?
Right.
Maybe the king. you know, because I don't know. That's the weirdest.
Yeah. I'm trying to pretend that I'm following you, but I'm like, no, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Well, the king can solve all your problems and is very educated with huge freaking biceps.
Well, his influence.
Well, and he's the king. That's like a weird example because I think you would always want to impress the king more.
Yeah, but Drew's the king is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but you want to impress the king and then you want to have sex with like the king's like confidant that is like,
No, you know what it is? You want to have sex with the king, but then you want to marry the prince because you're going to reap all the benefits from the king because the prince is connected to him.
I'm very confused.
This metaphor got really
confused. Beheaded.
But overall, it was an amazing experience on Loveline, and you can go listen to the episode of Loveline, which I actually don't even know where.
You can go,
to Loveline.com or something, right?
No, not Loveline.com. It's a weird dating website.
Okay.
I don't know why they haven't purchased, by the way, but it's lovelineshow.com, and it's all the video streams are up there. So,
oh, so you can watch us, too, which will be really, really cool.
Yeah.
But I do have an interesting story that happened from over the weekend that kind of aggravated me, which leads us into our next segment, The Man's Playbook.
We just talk about practice. We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
So The Man's Playbook is a new segment that we have created where we are going to talk about the characteristics of what every woman wants in a man and how you can be that man without having to change yourself. It's about confidence, it's about leadership, it's about comfort, and overall it's about understanding what women want from men and how you can be the man that women want. So the story that I wanted to tell you guys about was I was out for one of my best friend's birthday parties at Malibu Wineries, which is an amazing place. You drink wine. It's just like it's festivities. It's wonderful. It's awesome. So we were there for his birthday, and one of his friends was there who I've met before, who honestly is one of the nicest guys I've ever met in my entire life. He's also very attractive. He's got confidence. He's like a full package. And he kind of upset me a little bit because while we were there, amongst all the festivities, he brought up how, you know, he's not happy in his relationship and how his girlfriend's not a nice person and how he's been thinking this for the past 3 months. And I just kept thinking like, oh, my God, this is horrible. This is horrible. This is horrible. Biting my tongue, not wanting to say anything. And he basically started bashing her to me. For me, when I was looking at him, I was thinking, you know, I saw you so differently as this great guy. But now I see you in a whole new light. And it's not a very nice light. So he started saying, you know, he's not going to break up with her right now because she's looking for a roommate and she doesn't have that situation sorted yet. Or, well, she doesn't really have very many friends, so she doesn't have anybody to support herself, so he's going to wait until she has more friends. And
that's kind of how I would want to be broken up with.
Absolutely, right? You're like, let's stretch it out for 8 months while my boyfriend hates me.
Yeah, and let me get
horrible.
My footing.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk to you girls about, number one, what you thought about that, what's your opinion on it, and then as a woman who may have had a similar experience, I want to know what that does to you as a woman, being in a situation that is like that. So Haley, you know, what do you think?
It's such a turnoff. I mean, honestly, well, how close are you guys? Are you really good friends?
No, not very good friends. And honestly, he was announcing this to not just me. We weren't having a side conversation. It was
basically
everybody.
Like he had a megaphone and he was like, my girlfriend's a bitch.
Pretty much. And he's like, oh, I'm going to go to the Dodgers game and like, hopefully my girlfriend won't be there. And I'd be like,
it was hopefully she gets kidnapped.
Yeah, it was horrible. And he was talking about all these situations of, you know, well, I was sick and she didn't do this. And it just became girlfriend
bashing.
See,
like, I get it if you're going through relationship problems and you feel like you can confide in one person alone, like a close friend, and you need to get it off your chest. What? Like, we all have that, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're, like, announcing that at a birthday party with a group of friends, like, you got to figure that out on your own. Like, that's not something that's going to turn off women so much. It's something that's the most unattractive quality, like, and it's a buzzkill to everybody else. Like, I don't want to be, you know?
Well, and it shows you're a bit of a chicken. It's like,
absolutely.
If you're thinking these things about your partner, then either break up and be a man. Don't delay it for three months and don't wait for the right situation because you're scared.
In this situation, was he drinking? Was he buzzed?
A little bit, but not that much.
So you don't think it was alcohol?
No, it was not alcohol-induced for sure.
But think about it.
It's almost like he had beer goggles on his brain or something.
And how many times have we been in a relationship that just went on like 6 months too long or 1 year too long?
For sure.
And I feel like we're so afraid of the unknown, of moving on and then being alone, that we'll just keep that person around for no reason other than the selfish reason.
But what does that say about a man then? If he is that insecure or nervous about being alone or you know, what does that say about him?
It means we're chicken shit. And to the men out there, look, you only get this life one time. And time is very important, especially in your youth.
Especially because girls get old and ugly.
Yeah, especially in your youth. And I feel like for men out there, these are like your banging years before you're married, yeah. Right? So you got to start banging. And the more girls that you're with that have a dead end, you just need to get out as soon as possible.
I like to consider it more of a cul-de-sac than a dead end.
Okay.
So for the man's playbook, what is the best play for them in a situation like this?
The best play is to nip it in the bud.
Yep.
After you nip her in the bud. But I just want to say about him, like, I think it's really gross and really tacky to do something like that. He probably has a lot of pent-up energy of thinking about this, and he most likely doesn't have someone to talk to about it.
Yeah, obviously.
So what happens is you get in a situation where you're probably comfortable with the people you're around, and then you start saying things that you probably, you know you shouldn't be saying, but, like, it's that pent-up energy you need to kind of get off your chest.
Yeah.
So I think if a man is feeling this, I think it's okay. I mean, no one's perfect, and I think if a man is hesitating the breakup, I think if he's having those thoughts, he needs to have a friend or someone to confide in.
For sure.
To make the best decision. Because if you do that, if you make your decision too quickly, if you're having those thoughts, you should probably just go through with it. But I do understand that it's not something where you think and then you can do immediately. It's a big decision. It's an uncomfortable situation. So I kind of get it.
Well, questioning your breakup is different because you have to go through a process. So you start talking to people, you ask questions, you say things. But to literally say, this girl is not a nice person, like, you already know at that point that she's not going to be your partner for life or your partner for the next 5 months even.
Right. Well, she's not a nice person. She probably deserved it.
Right. Well, it's interesting because, like, I always try to tell the guys that I work with, the female perspective on this. So I know that for me, if I feel a man pulling away and evaluating me and possibly judging me, I can feel it when that's going on. Sometimes I make it up and just that's my own insecurities. But when it actually is happening, you can definitely feel that happening. And I like to tell them what it does to a woman. So for their situation, because he is pulling away and he is, judging her and evaluating her, she can feel that, which makes her more insecure, possibly pounce on him, become really bratty and naggy, really tense. The list can go on and on and on and on. So horribly, it doesn't end up showing her in the best light because this distance is created between the two of them, and they just get to a space where they're both unhappy and miserable for a long period of time, and then they break up, and it ends up being a horrible breakup. For men who are contemplating and who have come to the decision, this is not the right person for me, I think the best way to handle it is to have a conversation and just say, I don't think that we are a good match for each other. As soon as you decide that, you don't drag it on and wait for the best situation where she's comfortable and has friends around her or that she has her roommate situation sorted out. The sooner you can nip it in the bud, it's better for her. Being honest, it makes it better.
Those all sound like excuses anyways. I mean,
absolutely.
He's just chicken shit, like, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, dude, ball up, figure it out. Because honestly, it's probably gotten back to her at this point anyways, especially if you have mutual friends and you're just talking shit behind her back. Like, she knows. And that distance starts to accumulate and you just start to get more and more uncomfortable together and it's never going to get better.
Why wasn't she at the event?
She was working.
Because she's a bitch.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well,
there's a lot of bitches in Malibu, especially at wineries.
She would have fit in very well, trust me.
She's the guest of honor. I did want to just ask, though, what is your, Marnie, your suggestion on how to start the conversation? Because I know my boyfriend and I we've had talks, and it's always like, I want to talk to you later. And it's a really difficult intro because then I stiffen up, I get annoyed, I don't want to, and I know I'm in for, it's like knowing you're about to jump into the snake pit. So what's a good way to start, and how long in advance should he be warning her?
Should he be warning her that there's going to be a conversation?
Yeah.
Well, I would say
been warned. And
when you're sitting on the couch, having a nice conversation. No warning. Like, you're never going to have the perfect situation for bringing up this conversation. And her emotions are her own responsibility. At this point, when you're talking about breaking up, you're getting off of your chest what you need to get off of your chest. But if there is something in a relationship that you do want to talk about, what you the best thing to do is when you guys are sitting on the couch having fun, you do segue into that conversation and say, like, yeah, I love you. I really care about you. I do want to have a conversation with you about our future and about our relationship. And just know that everything I'm saying comes from a great place. And it's for us to talk about so that we can make our relationship even better.
But how about the breakup?
The breakup?
How do they present that?
Well, the thing is, you know the breakup is coming. There really is no great time to bring up the breakup conversation.
I mean, don't warn, because just waiting for it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say like at 5 o'clock today, let's have a conversation. No. I would say next time you see this girl and you guys are by yourself and you know you have an hour, sit down and say, we have to talk.
I would do it when I know I had 5 minutes. I'm like,
right, exactly. Like, I gotta go now.
I'm gonna make this as short as possible.
Yeah. But the thing is that the longer that you delay getting it off of your chest and having that conversation or waiting for the perfect moment, the worse it ends up being,
more tension
that's built up. Yeah, you gotta just rip it
off.
Because honestly, a man of integrity, when he does think those things and he comes to a decision, a real man of integrity says it right away, because it hurts her more the more that he delays it.
Right. I have a buddy who's like this, right? And all he does, he's with this girl, and they've been together on and off for, I'd say, 2 years, 3 years. And he does the same thing you're talking about. He talks shit about her. Oh, I can't stand my girl. We're not going to get married. We're not compatible. He breaks up with her. The next minute, oh, I miss her. Oh, I screwed up. Oh, I want to get back together with her. Oh, there's no girl out there more prettier than her. Then they get back together. And then it's the same bullshit over and over and over. And it's just this continuous cycle. And there's a lot of guys out there that are like that. How do you just break that?
Well, okay, there's two things that I'm hearing there. So
yeah, it's like, I want to call that the relationship umbilical cord.
Yeah. It is. It's like, okay, well, I don't want to be myself, but
it's gross.
And now I miss this person because I miss having a partner.
And it's not even about like the love anymore. It's about the fact that you know them so well and they know you better than anybody else. And so being without them is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You have to be able to get over that. Like, honestly, I would say like find a way to have some physical distance. That's the only way that you can really move on.
That forces you to move
on.
Yeah. That's actually a good question. What are some breakup rules that we can provide men?
Yeah.
Another
for the next
chapter
man's playbook.
In the man's playbook. Exactly.
I went through a pretty rough breakup, and I remember I kept going back to him for a while, and it was just those months and months of like, you know, you're still hooking up and stuff. And I think the only thing that really you have to just cut it off, there can be no contact through text, no contact physically. And that's the only way that you're able to even emotionally move on. Because no matter what, they're like your best friend, and letting go of your best friend is the worst.
Absolutely.
You know, it's more than even like.
And you know what's so messed up is these women, right? Every single chick has got like the guy friend that's just waiting in the wings, right? Mm-hmm. He's been playing like the emotional support the whole time you've been dating your chick.
And she's like,
and the minute you drop your girl, she's already dating somebody else. And that's so fucked up. Because like a girl could walk
into
a bar.
We talked about that last night on Love Line.
There's like a girl could go into a bar and there's 10 dicks that will go home with that any time. Yep. A guy walks in the bar, not the same deal. So, men, you got to get ready for the hibernation period to get your man sexy back, because it's going to be a while.
Well, the thing is, I do tell the guys that I work with, too. It's like after you have a breakup or after you divorce, you have to refine that single you. I don't think that it's healthy to jump into another relationship. Sometimes it's great because you're already over that past relationship 6 months before you've actually broken up. But I do think that you do need at least 3 months to refine your single self, reconnect with all of your friends, and not be needy and dependent in relationship mode, so that the next person you date, you're not jumping into the next girlfriend and like having her be your, I'm not saying that correctly, but not acting as if she's your girlfriend already by pouncing on her. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but we did talk about that last night. And I mean, my consensus is that if you're broken up and she hooks up with somebody, it's her way of dealing with it, or it's his way of dealing with it. And I don't think that they should be shamed for doing that, because it's an emotional time, and you have to do what you have to do to get through it so that you can be normal in 3 months. Because it's going to be a rough 3 months or year or however long.
Me and my husband went on a break at some point when we first started dating. And I right away called a family friend to see if he had anybody to hook me up with, like literally the next day.
Jeez.
And then I found out that my husband was like making out with some girl the night after we had broken up. Like, not – it's fine. It's fine to do those things. You need your outlets. You need to vent. Whatever you need to get out of you, you need to get out of you. I don't think that it's bad to do those things in needy times.
And it never really means anything. And we're talking about, like, right away. Like, I don't think, you know, some people say, like, oh, how could you do that? It was just, our relationship not mean anything to you? But, like, that is your way of being able to deal. It doesn't mean you're going to have a long-term thing with this hookup. It's just like...
And the hookup knows that.
Yeah, but it means something to the guy who's out of the relationship, you know?
Well, that's for him to deal with.
And you know when I tell my guys, because I have guys who gone through this, I tell them, you know what, go out and bang as many girls as possible.
You should be going on exactly and having fun as well.
How about making love, Mo? No, a lot of banging.
I call it banging it out of your system. Okay, you bang the girl out of your system
and into hers.
And you're gonna and these girls are not gonna be as pretty as your ex girlfriend was, because they never are. You know, they're just gonna be a bunch of low hanging fruit. But you're just gonna get through it, and it's gonna build your man sexy up to the point where you're like, wow, all these women want me. I don't even need that girl who used to put me down.
Right. It's a way to deal with it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I hope that this guy finally does break up with his girlfriend.
Do it.
Because it's just so horrible. Like, having to be friends with him afterwards and be in a room with them together knowing that he's saying all of these things about her. It's embarrassing for her. It's uncomfortable for all of us. And it just doesn't put him in a nice light. It makes me think of him as a big wimp. So if you do choose to follow Mo's advice and just bang a lot of chicks after you break up, then you need to know how to follow up with the girl after you've done the banging. I was going through Men's Health the other day, and I found this little article that was, what post-tryst, what's the word?
Tryst.
Mm-hmm. What post-tryst text does she want? We asked 1,566 women what text message they'd want to receive the day after their sexual encounter with you. And there's a whole bunch of options of, you know, what kind of text message they would like to receive. So before I tell you what the options are, what kind of message would you guys like to receive after you have
I would like to receive a message in the form of money and or...
Here's $20.
Checks.
That's called prostitution.
It is.
What?
And Haley, what about you?
Just shower me in compliments. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah, well, actually,
because you feel kind of insecure, let's be honest, after a one-night stand, especially as a girl. You're like, oh, what was that? What happened?
You're like, so, like, call me the next day.
Just a simple compliment, like, you're really hot. And don't like, get too dirty right away, you know? Keep it kind of clean. Yeah. Keep it classy.
I agree with you. Okay, so number one was, can't wait to see you again. I think that's great.
Plain, simple, easy, to the point.
Yeah. Number two was, you're beautiful.
There you go.
Number three.
I just hear that in general, not after we have sex.
But these are all good things for after going on a date, whatever it is, but definitely for after having sex.
And if you send "you're beautiful," make sure you spell it correctly, YOU'RE, not your YOUR beautiful, because then it's like, well, what about my beautiful?
Not BOOTY, ifle.
You're beautiful.
I would accept that, but more
Yo,
than
spell
the,
check
yours
your text.
Yeah,
boys.
But people don't know the difference between "you are" and "your." Yeah. So anyway, just
grammar is hot.
Grammar is hot. If I get a text like that said "you're hot, you're beautiful," I'd be like, "you're stupid."
So, well, actually, it is really important, because I have gone on online dating sites to look at people's profiles, and
yeah,
like
spelling
I spot
involved.
All the spelling errors. I'm just like, you just like, I can't even see past all of these errors. Yeah, you're an idiot. Therefore, I would never contact you. Yeah. So number three was, last night was amazing. Number four, hey, how's it going?
No. Don't do that.
Yeah. I don't like that. That's like passive aggressive.
She could write back bad.
Yeah.
You bad. Know, you don't want that. I have a yeast infection.
Yeah. Don't ever call me again.
I have STDs.
Next one was, you're a good kisser.
Yeah, be a little bit more specific. I mean,
yeah, you
I don't
just
know.
Said
you're
sex.
A good kisser.
You're focusing on the kissing, you know?
The next one, oh God, was, can still smell you hot.
Gross.
I think that's gross.
Unless you're eating a tuna fish sandwich and you're like mistaking your lunch for her.
Jeez. No. Horrible. The next one, was it good for you?
No.
No.
The next one, I like watching you sleep.
No,
not after the first time.
I am creeped out.
Read that the way it sounds.
I like watching you sleep. That's not even creepy enough. Like, I feel like that was kind of sexy a little bit, but like, it's like, I like watching you sleep. Yeah, it's really freaking creepy. Do not say that. In a relationship, you can say those things, but after your first time having sex with somebody, they're like, I have a stalker on my hands. This guy's obsessed with
me. Yeah, and I'm a drooler. Like, ew, I don't want you, like watching me as I'm drooling.
Right. Yeah. I'm the mouth opener, but that's maybe why they like watching me sleep, because they see the width or the height. I don't know. Whatever.
What do you mean? Like effort?
Like if I'm sleeping with my mouth open, then it's like kind of like.
They're like, ooh, future plans
right,
for
exactly.
us.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. She's got good, what is it called? Good diameter. What is it? What is it? I have no idea. Okay. And the last one, which was, you know, the one that they liked the least, was ready for round two.
Nope.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, I don't like that one.
Hey,
either.
Y'all, ready for round two?
Right.
Settle exactly. up.
So top ones were can't wait to see you again, number one, which I think actually is the
it's
best
perfect.
One. You're beautiful and last night was amazing.
But don't text can't wait to see you again if you don't plan to see her again.
Well, right, because this is all coming across as if these two people very much like each other and they're very much going to be seeing each other again.
Correct.
So sometimes there's situations that are a little fuzzy. Which we did talk about on a previous podcast.
For sure. Well, actually, so then what would be the appropriate text message? I know we talked about it in, I think, episode 2 or 3. I don't even know. But what would be the appropriate text message if they had sex, but the guy doesn't want to see her again?
No text message.
No text message.
Thank
That's
you.
Leading
yeah.
on.
Just
I
abort. Just send
abort.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then she'll send back, you're welcome.
I said good day.
Y-O-U apostrophe R-E.
There you go. I love it. Well, I wanted to tell you guys about a new segment that we're going to be starting called Analyze This. Okay, so what we're going to do is we are going to analyze your sticky situations that you are having with women. So you got a text message, you don't understand what it means or what she wants, send it in to us and we will analyze it. You have a message left on your phone, you don't understand what she's trying to say, send it in to us, we'll analyze it.
And, you know, give us an email if you want, your emails, and also take the chance to go and record your hookup and your conversation, and we want to analyze it and hear from it.
Yeah, as long as she doesn't catch you recording it. And we apologize in advance if she does.
Exactly.
But it would be really exciting for
and
us.
And where do we send this to?
You send it to ask@askwomenpodcast.com.
Up next, we're talking about horror stories in the bedroom. Stay tuned for that and more.
So, speaking of a man's playbook, the one thing he has to have in there is the Gillette Fusion Pro Glide. It's amazing. So, stop waiting for supermodels to fall out of the sky and just start shaving in the real world with Gillette Fusion Pro Glide. You know when you can smell someone's body spray from 5 miles away?
Yes.
I hate that guy. Do not be that guy. Put down the spray. You're better than that. I'm telling you. You're listening to this podcast. You have to be better than
that. We trust you.
So stop selling out and start standing out with Gillette Fusion Pro Glide Shave Gel. Replace your old razor with Gillette Fusion Pro Glide and start getting a nice, clean shave instead. It'll make you look like less of a creepster because...
Absolutely. And because we all know that men with clean shaven faces,
they get more booty.
They get more booty. They get kissed more and women kiss them much
That's
more
right.
intensely.
Yeah. And Gillette Fusion Pro Glide is tougher on hair and gentle on skin, if you can believe it or not, versus the Mach 3. It's time you stop falling for the hype, people. Stop listening and only listen to me. Try the Gillette Fusion Pro Glide. It's now available with a new look at Walmart. And while you're at Walmart, do your roommate a favor who's paying all your rent and pick him up a bottle of Gillette Fusion Pro Glide Shave Gel. He'll be thanking you when all of the women come flocking. And then you can get in on the goods because they'll be at your apartment.
Absolutely.
Bingo,
right?
Bingo.
It's time for some dudervention. Stop falling for the hype. Start shaving in the real world with Gillette Fusion Pro Glide. Now at Walmart. We'll see you there because that's where I hang out.
You're listening to the Ask Women podcast, a Podcast One presentation.
Boys have a penis, girls have a vagina.
Or as I like to call them, pee-pees and wee-wees. welcome back to the Ask Women podcast, where you get real advice straight from the source. Women, okay, you guys. So you've been hanging with us now for, what, like a month or so?
Yeah.
And we really appreciate it. We've been doing you some big favors by just being here. No, I'm just kidding. But please go to podcastone.com and go to the Ask Women page and click on the Amazon banner and do your shopping there. As you know or may not know, we get a little kickback. And I just had a dream that I got lots of checks coming from Amazon, and so I like to. I think I have premonition dreams.
Absolutely. I hope you do, because you said they were $4 checks.
There's $40,000
checks. Oh, gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, for right now, it'd be great for the $4 checks, too. Right. That'd be amazing from Amazon.
Exactly. Did you say 40,000 $1 checks?
No. I said $4 checks, but I wanted to raise the stakes a little bit for our viewers.
Yeah.
I want more than $4.
So you're lying about your premonitions now.
Well, I'm hoping they're better than... I'm making
them out
to
be. Though.
Yeah. Anyway, shop there. It's easy, convenient, and whatnot. And share this podcast with a friend, especially your friend that probably needs some dating advice.
Yeah.
Send them our way. And, whatever. That's it. Do it.
I like
More
it.
Poco.
I like it. All right. So before we took a break, we talked about sharing some horror stories. Well, actually, before...
Which involve horrors.
Hopefully, for some of horrors you.
Horrors de yours.
Yeah. Well, so before we came in here, we started sharing some of our horror stories, and then Kristen was like, stop, don't say it on the air. So I wanted to recap some of the horror stories that we were talking about before, and... Mo brought one up that he was sharing that was just ridiculous, and I would love for you to explain too.
Oh, it's the best story. This is my friend.
And or worst story.
I will call him my friend Brian. I won't give his last name, and he went to the University of Colorado.
And he lived on Second Street.
Yeah. Well, look, so this was the story. So he had a drunken night where he just got mad shit-faced, him and this girl. And it's a girl that he knows. And somehow they ended.
I'm sorry, but you just gave the punchline of the whole story.
Yeah, I know what you said.
Mad shit face.
He got mad shit face. Him and the girl, they got mad shit face. And they ended up sleeping together, right? He wakes up in the middle of the night, and he's just covered in a pool of his own shit.
That is insane.
Poopy.
So to save himself the embarrassment, he took the crap and wiped it all over the girl's butt that was still passed out.
It is so horrifying.
He had dipped his hand in his own shit and then wipe it all over her ass.
And then left her a note that said, I'm sorry, but you had an accident. And then left.
And the accident was sleeping with me.
Exactly.
That was the real accident.
Exactly. That's horrible. Oh, my God. That goes so in line with what we were talking about from the first segment of men with integrity. Men with integrity do not shit in the bed or
just shit
do
in
that.
General. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, shit happens, right? But, like, don't wipe it on her ass and then peace out. Question, did he ever see her again?
No, he said it was the most, he saw her around campus, but it was just really awkward between them ever since
Well,
then.
Of course.
Sure. She thinks that she just shit herself.
Well, Kristen was saying he should pay for her therapy now. He absolutely should. She's going around now being with guys, not being able to go to sleep. Fearful that
she's not sleeping with guys
again.
Anymore.
Like, she's just lying in bed with her eyes open with any guy that she dates.
With her diaper on.
Yeah. She's wearing Depends now.
Horrible.
You can't.
Horrible.
He's like, do you want to sleep with me? She's like,
that.
It depends. That was horrible. I picture your friend, Mo, to be the biggest douchebag in the entire world. Am I right?
Is he
super douchey?
You know, it's not that he's super douchey. He just has commitment fears, and he gets a lot of girls, and he's a lot of fun and adventurous, but has a very dark sense
what
of humor.
What kind of car does he drive?
Oh, he lives in Spain right now and just rides trains. But when he did have a car, it was like a shitty Honda.
Okay. Did it have a spoiler on the back?
No.
Does he wear cut-off
t-shirts?
That's what I'm wondering. Did he?
No, but he's the kind of guy that would have a mullet for fun.
Okay.
Oh, totally.
All right. Okay. So he's kind of
Or you have
fun.
An ironic mustache.
He's really fun and goofy and wild and
right.
But
so he wasn't doing that to get on kind of a serious note. He wasn't doing that to make to de well, never mind. I can't even ask this question because the answer is going to be like, of course he was doing that to demean her worth a little bit. But what do you is this kind of guy that takes advantage of women at all?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Kind of. And it's more less about demeaning and more about he just doesn't want her to think that he did it.
Because think about it. If it goes around campus that he shits the bed, because the girl's going to tell everybody. But if it goes, that she shit the bed, she's not going to say anything.
No.
She's going to keep it secret.
And he's not going to say anything in case it comes out that it was actually him. So
really, he's intelligent.
So it's really a win-win.
He's a smart guy.
Very smart guy. I like his move.
This is horrifying.
Well, horrible.
Absolutely. I just want to picture him like actually what taking a lot of balls well, Kristen, to wipe shit on
Kristen
somebody.
Kristen was talking about another story towel. As well, because I want to hear the other horror story. We didn't get to finish it. That's where you cut it off.
Well, I was in Australia, and it was really awful. We went out and got really drunk, and I wasn't sleeping with him or anything. We were sleeping in the same bed. So, I mean, I was sleeping technically with him. But we were staying in a friend's apartment that was really small. And he was so wasted. And this is the kind of guy that's not good with women, you know, very uncomfortable, awkward. And so I was sleeping. And all of a sudden, I felt like I felt something. But I was sleeping. But I still felt something that wasn't right. And I opened my eyes. And he was over me, literally peeing on me like I was a bush. I mean, I have a lot of hair. He was on. He was still in bed on his knees, kneeling over me, knee peeing on me, and I was like, "Oh my God!" So I like backed away, and he didn't snap out of it. He just continued peeing in the bed, and then just laid back down. And
is this where all of your intimacy issues come from?
It was before there. I mean, the shit might have messed it up, too. But no, he and I were not, like, romantically connected at all. But we were in that moment, I will say. It was that moment that really connected
like,
us.
Brought you together.
And so in the morning, I didn't, like, take the pee and throw it on me and say, it was me. Like, I didn't do that. But I went and I had to end up sleeping on the floor. And, I mean, this was all with dudes. And so it kind of sucks to be, like, the only chick, like, sleeping on, like, a wooden floor. But I just didn't want to get in bed with any of them after that. It was just uncomfortable. But when we woke up, I only told one of them. And so we kept it on the DL.
Okay, I have a story. This is my roommate, old roommate. She had her boyfriend over. And he was really hammered, of course. And he opened fire in her closet, peeing all over her clothes
in the closet.
Yeah, ruining everything.
That's horrible. So a good message from these horror stories is don't drink too much, right? Is that the message that we're trying to get across here? But I want to give the guys that are listening some real actionable advice. So I want to go into our next segment called Ask Women, which is the name of our show. Ta-da. And so now we want some answers for you. So I've got some questions from guys who have written into us, and I want to see what you guys think and what your opinions are. All right, so here is the first question. This is from Zach in Kansas City. And he said, at what point is it okay to break wind in front of your partner? Are we talking months or years?
Okay.
So Zach from Kansas. So when can you fart?
The first date.
Nope. I disagree.
No, I...
I love how serious you are.
For women, never.
Okay, no. You know what? Like, screw you. It's so unfair. It really is. It's like, you know what? We're going to fart.
I come from a gassy family.
Me too.
And that's just the fact.
I have IBS. Deal with it, you know?
Right.
But seriously, when is it appropriate? Because I remember when I was making out with my first boyfriend ever, and he farted. We were 3 months into our relationship, and I just could not stop thinking about it for so long. And then he's like, oh, I broke the seal, so now I can do it all the time. And I was like, no.
That's what happens. Once you fart, you can't go back to not farting, and it's constant.
It's like once you pop, you can't stop.
Exactly. That's the new Pringles slogan.
So when is the appropriate time? When can you start releasing yourself?
I think it needs to be at least like 4 to 6 months. And
I kind of agree with that. But then
everyone's sexy at first. You don't want to hear them farting.
There's a comedian who
I don't want to continue hearing them farting. That's the thing.
There's a comedian who has a podcast that has something to do with Podcast One. It's not on Podcast One exactly, but she and her husband, I believe, I could totally be like making this up, but I remember hearing her say something like, he farted on the first date, and they both, like, laughed, and they were like, we're in. This is it. And they got married.
No.
Yeah, and they've been farting together ever since. Yeah, I mean, it's like, it depends on who you are. She's a comic. He's a comic. So, yeah, it depends on who you are. If you're going out with a girl who's really proper, I wouldn't suggest the first date. But read the person or read yourself.
Men are like dogs, and women are like cats, okay? Men can shit in public, and women, you could clean up after us. We could shit, pee in public. It's totally cool and fine and acceptable.
I don't know about the shitting.
In public?
Where are you? I'm just saying we could fart. and do all our nasty business in public, like
okay,
dogs.
Farting
do,
in public
right?
is different than shitting in public. Let's just make that distinction
I'm just
right
saying,
away.
It's like the same thing.
No, it's not.
But women are like cats, where you gotta hide that shit. You gotta go like into your little box and hide. And I'm wondering where my cat is, and oh, it's hiding in the little box.
You want to know why? Because men put us in that box.
Yeah, don't box us in.
How?
And you know what? For good reason. Okay.
Honestly, women, it does touch their minds. They don't want to picture us doing
like
that stuff.
Beautiful.
It ruins.
It's on a pedestal. Sometimes we're having sex and it's doggy style. I don't need to know that when that stuff's happening, shit could be coming at me in the wrong way.
That is. And when is that the right way?
Yeah, exactly.
On your own time that we don't know about.
I will say one thing for guidance in terms of farting. Like, it's okay if you slip up or if you really have gas, but I wouldn't say to make it a regular thing because there was one. Okay, so me and my husband, when we first started dating, his friend was in town visiting, and I forget who farted at the point. It wasn't me, but it was somebody else. And I said to his friend, I'm like, oh, you know, Jordan never farts. And he's like, are you serious? And then I'm like, oh, it would be okay if he did. And then that's
deception.
Exactly. And then he was like, all right, well, here it goes now. And then it never ended. It was crazy. Like, once in a while, a fart is fine. But when he, like, farts and then, like, looks over at me with a smile and starts laughing,
yeah,
it's not attractive.
What is it about guys? So my fiance loves to fart, and they're like, it's like musical, has like a musicality to it, and he's like so excited about it. Every time it happens, he just like looks at me with like this shit eating grin on his face, like, look what I just did. And I'm like, no,
we're weird. Like, guys like to fart and then smell each other's farts.
No,
well, I
like, yeah, man, this guy, he's eating a lot of protein and beans.
When I said I grew up in, I'm from a gassy family, I wasn't being silly. Like, legitimately, all of us fart all the time. My dad farts.
Is
when
it like
he
the
sleeps?
Nutty professor at the dinner table?
I love that.
Yeah, except we're not as thin.
4 to 6 months is the okay time to break wind. But sometimes in some people, it can happen earlier. It can be a bonding experience. You might high five and then like get married.
Yeah,
that's the tale of the story here. Yeah.
For dudes who found me somewhat attractive, it's okay if I lose you. Like, I'm fine
right
with
now.
That. However, it is
we
gross
just lost
and
half
I get it.
Our half of our listeners yeah. just
I know.
Like, screw
I
that. They
it's
all
a highbrow show.
And they go to the bathroom. I'm not listening anymore. Okay, the next question was, I see singles mixers popping up all over. Some dating sites even sponsor them. Good opportunities or a waste of time? Aaron from Lincoln, what's N-E?
Nebraska.
Oh, good. Aaron from Lincoln, Nebraska. So, what do you think?
You know, I had a little, I think in one of the first episodes, I said something about if you ask for my number, you're a loser. I don't want to go back to that mantra. But there's something about, it's okay to go to singles events. I'm okay with that. But you have to take the good with the bad. I think if you go to a singles event, there's going to be some hits and some misses. And I think to keep that in mind, that there might, you might go and show up and that's okay. Go. It's almost like you're a undercover person. You know, you don't have to totally put yourself out there. Go check one out. See if it's something that you'd want to do. Am I answering the question at all?
Have you guys ever been to one, though? Has anyone here ever been to
I went
singles
to one event? Speed dating in college.
Okay, yeah. So what happens at a singles mixer? I've never been. So
you mix. It depends what you the mix. Singles mixer is like. They may have a theme. They may have games that you play. There may be a key and lock. What is it called? Lock and key?
Sounds kind of
party.
Hokey.
It sounds like vagina penis.
It sounds like vagina. Yeah, maybe I endorse singles mixers. I think that it's a great place to meet other people. You, as Kristen was saying before, you have to select the right ones for you.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're going to walk in and you're gonna be like, these people are all hideous, not on my page at all, yeah. and I have nothing in common with them. So done. You've gone there, taken the opportunity, and you continue to find other ones that may suit you better. Because you may walk in and half the people you're interested in. And to tell you the truth, that doesn't happen very often. In your normal life, you don't get to interact with tons of people who are single and ready to mix. And it's, I know, I saw you make a face when I read the question. Haley made a face where she's like, ugh.
Well, I just never been to one before, so I wasn't sure.
They're fun. Actually, I've gone, when I've been married now, to speed dating events and like singles mixers because I want to keep up to date with my research.
Yeah.
So, and they're a blast. There's
I've been
amazing
to
people.
A lot. I've been to a lot
really?
Of singles, only because I was bartending at a bar that would have a singles mixer every like twice a month or something like that, right? I don't recommend. Look here to the readers or the listeners out there. I don't necessarily recommend them for finding, like, the I got high taste, so, like, really beautiful girls don't go to that. But what I do realize is that there is a lot of banging going on at these singles mixers.
There definitely is.
So there is. It's like everyone there is down to meet somebody. Everyone there
for hookup.
For hook. I think they want a little bit more. But I think where these people are emotionally, they just don't really care.
There's a little openness.
They just want a connection regardless.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting the way that you're talking about it. You're like, this is the bottom of the barrel, and this is all the people that are left. It's actually not at all like that, depending on where you go. Because the truth is, where else can you go to meet people if you're 35 years old?
Well, look, when you're sexy as hell, you go out to a bar, you're going to meet people.
But
like
I don't know if people aren't sexy.
But not everyone is sexy as hell, though. We can't all keep up with you.
Yeah, and some people don't like going to bars either. I mean, like, bars are not my place, and I've actually never met anybody at a bar.
I feel right now where the place to be is the online dating.
Yeah.
It's like, don't go in a bar where there's going to be a lot of competition of other guys fighting over the same girl, and then all of a sudden you got to play who's got the most confident man game.
For sure. Well, and you also want to go to a place where your personality shines the best, where you're most comfortable. So my tips, actually, I have a whole blog about it on winggirlmethod.com that you should go check out about where to meet women or how to meet women. And I'm like squeaking in my chair.
Thought you were farting.
I know, seriously. But
it's only our fourth show. Yeah,
exactly. This is too much. I need Marnie. A leave.
Our fifth show. I'm sorry.
I can't handle this.
But for meeting women, there are multiple other places besides bars, because a lot of guys write in and say, I don't like going to bars. Where else do I meet women? So the supermarket, just saying, is a great place to meet women. Singles mixers, online dating, join groups.
Don't talk
meetup.
To her, though. She's buying too much frozen food. It's a bad sign.
Other things, through friends, you can throw your own dinner parties and have single friends come over and invite other single people to come. Join like a volleyball group.
Doing what you love, too, you're bound to find someone who's more, kind of compatible with you.
Yeah. And if you do go on Meetup or you go to like Google singles mixers, your age, your city online, and you don't find what you're looking for, then start your own group, because I'm sure there's other people who are similar to you who are looking for something similar.
Yeah, Meetup.com is legit.
It is. It's a great space.
I feel like a singles mixer is just a little too desperate to me. Like, whereas like a volleyball group or some other group where, like, it's like a singles group, but there's, like, an activity involved, it, like, puts a lot less pressure on the situation.
And
then you have a bond in common already that you can talk about. And,
for sure.
And
you love volleyball? Oh, my God. I love volleyball.
Oh, my God. You're a great bumper.
Oh, my God.
And there's a conversation to talk about. But, yeah, I completely agree with that. That is number one. You want to meet through your friends, through your social circle, through the things that you love doing. But as another option, I honestly am very into singles mixers. I think because you were working where you were working, you may have viewed people a certain way in that space. But I have been and met fantastic people. I wasn't available at the time because I was married and just going, to do research. But I have met absolutely amazing people who were high quality, very attractive, had amazing jobs, made a good living. So singles mixers, in my opinion, are fantastic places to meet other individuals who are also looking to mix.
Oh, Marnie.
There you go. All right. So the next question that I want to get to is, do women play dumb on purpose? Sometimes I get the gut feeling they're afraid to show their smarts. Todd Akron from Ohio.
I feel like there needs to be a specific example. Like, by playing dumb, is that like, I mean, I think in certain situations you can.
No,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, that was really mean of me.
No, you're so rude.
I think dumb women play dumb. Because I think any woman willing to play dumb has like a personality defect or something where she's not that high quality. Like Mo, like said, is high quality. These girls would not be good for Mo. Because if you were really in touch with who you were and are, playing dumb would be the last thing on your mind. So I think it says something bigger about a woman.
Well, here, he just said, sometimes I get the feeling they're afraid to show their smarts. So I went to a singles mixer, actually, when I was in New York. And there was this one woman there who, you know, was talking to me, and I said what I did for a living. And she started telling me about how she went to Harvard. She's in finance. But when she had put that on her online profile, she got nobody writing to her. And so she tweaked her online profile to not say that she went to Harvard and not say that she was in finance, and she got a lot of guys writing to her. So I think a lot of women are taught to dumb it down. I'm sorry about that. They
I think
are.
Because I'm dumb, I'm trying to smart it up.
Yeah, you're like, oh, that's why it
I know,
is.
Me too. I can fake this.
I think there is an intimidation factor in that. And then also, you know, I think we've talked about this before. When you see a group of people, you know, at a club or a group of men at a club, they all look alike. They're all dressed alike. I grew up in Southern California, so we have the quote-unquote Valley girls, right? And I can't tell you how many girls adopt the way that Valley girls talk because that's just how hot girls are supposed to talk.
I always think, like, do they talk like that in real life?
No. They just adopt it the same way that someone adopts an accent living in another country. It's like the exact same thing out here.
So I didn't think that was real.
It's so real.
You know what's interesting is when I hear a girl who speaks that way, I start speaking that way because I feel like I'm going to scare her with my real human voice.
Yeah.
I really like to keep up with it like this.
Because I feel like if a girl talks to you like, yeah, oh my God, yeah, that's definitely cool, come on. And then I respond like, yeah, it's cool. She's going to be like, oh my God, what a bitch. You know, so I always – and I wonder if a guy starts to dumb it down to
well, you
her.
Know, I know.
Because
well,
I certainly
some
do.
Guys might, or some guys are just kind of like tough jock dudes, and they talk, you know, tough jock dude. And then like, I like guys. That's exactly, I don't want to do it. You know, like there's a lot of girls like that.
Yeah, well, I think that there is, you know, what you were saying before that maybe not. I don't want to say it's a low quality person. It's somebody who maybe hasn't figured themselves out in the way that they want to represent themselves.
Yes.
Because I, you know, I have played around with my security and insecurity and with my voice and the way that I present myself. And there's certain times where I'm super confident and I see that that can either intimidate men or that it puts them off in some way. So I'll dial it back a little bit. I think that a lot of girls, you know, may play a little ditzier than they are sometimes because maybe they think that that's flirting.
And I think they think it's sexy as well.
Exactly. I think so too.
And then men are, I think men are attracted to that too in a little bit. You know, they feel like they have something to offer her. If a girl like your friend from Harvard or whatever, you know, it's like they feel like, well, what can I bring to this conversation? It's really daunting. But that being said, then you don't want to date that guy anyways, you know?
I completely agree.
And it's a fine line because there are some women who are just too smart for their own good, and then they like to show. You know, the girl sits in front of the class and raises her hand to every question. Like, there are some women who are like that. That
she's just too obnoxious for
her. They show off their smarts, and that's, you know, no one wants to be around that.
Right. Well, I did this interview the other day for another female coach who coaches other women, like very successful women. And all of them did have the same challenge. They're extremely successful, extremely confident. And how do they present themselves to men who may be on the same level as them or maybe a little bit lower? They were asking, do I have to play that down or can I still be this strong, assertive woman in my life? And I answered, I forget what it was that I answered, but, you know, I was saying, yes, you have to be strong and assertive with who you are, but you can still be feminine. You don't have to put somebody down.
Feminine and nurturing and all these things that men look for.
But the thing is that some of these women weren't that way. And so they were asking, like, do I have to be that person to attract a man?
Yeah.
And it gets very confusing for a lot of women right now who are in that position of power. Mm-hmm. They do get very frustrated because they're like, I don't want to act like a wimpy woman if I'm not a wimpy woman. And I know that's the way they're thinking about it in their head, thinking they're acting wimpy as opposed to feminine and softer. But it is very confusing for a lot of women right now.
I would love for a man or men who are listening to write in and let us know if you're intimidated by a woman who is very intelligent and why, because I find it attractive. I picture myself from the other end as a man, and I just want men to know there's no need to be intimidated by us. We don't want to win. There's not a competition. You just should look at it like in the more positive light, which is I can have a good conversation with this woman. This woman's going to enrich my life. I'm going to learn from her. Vice versa, she can learn from me. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why guys get so intimidated. There's a Sex and the City episode where Miranda She's a lawyer. She's a partner at her law firm. Mm-hmm. And she pretends she's a flight attendant to, mm-hmm. I can't remember the episode that well, but to get this man because he was super intimidated by the smart women. So mm-hmm. she got him. They had sex. And then it ended horribly. So if you... women do play dumb at the beginning, her true self will come through.
That's the thing.
And it could ruin the whatever fake dynamic that you have going on in that moment.
And there's different types of guys, too. You can't hide who you are to, you know, accommodate some, you know, the guy that you want to be with. So at the end of the day, it's like, it's going to be like Miranda. It's going to come out.
So right. What's the best way then for guys to...
Not to say flight attendants are stupid, but the ones who tell me I have to pay for all three seats when I stretch out on an open flight, those ones are dumb. Don't even get me started on that.
Yeah.
So for guys who are listening, so if they are interacting with women who maybe do have a better job than them or do make more money than them, what is the way for them to handle that situation? Because obviously they shouldn't let it beat them down or be intimidated by it. What is the best way for that woman to
if I was a dude, I'd be like, sweet, I don't have to work as much. She's got a lot of money.
Yeah, just be yourself. Treat her like a normal person. That's really all you have to do. Don't be intimidated by her. If anything, dating a girl that is more confident is going to give you more confidence. Yeah.
And at the end of the day, we want the same things as anybody else. We want to be understood, we want to be loved, and we want to be appreciated and supported by a partner, whether that partner has more money than us and a better job or less money than us and a worse job or same levels. We still want to be heard and understood. Just because we are really assertive women in our professional lives doesn't mean that we're not humans. Yeah. And we don't need that love. Even if we have a barrier put up, we still want to have a guy break down through that barrier and help us be loved and taken care of. Okay, next question. My girlfriend always looks smoking hot when she goes out to work, but wears ratty sweats around me. What gives?
Oh, she's comfortable with you.
Yeah, men. I agree with this one. That happens with me sometimes.
Yeah, it's just comfortable.
And it takes for the woman that's not a diss to the guy, it takes so much energy probably for her to look good when she goes out that she wants a break.
It's true. Guys, if you have any idea just to get your hair straight, right. It is like going to war. It is like so much
worse than going to war.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, I have some sympathy for women because it's like when you're home, you just want to, like, you know, kick back.
And relax.
But I do think you have to keep the sexy alive. Yeah. You know?
I mean, if she's wearing ratty pajamas, maybe go out and go shopping for new pajamas that
sexier ones.
Ooh,
good tip.
Look better. I know that has been pulled on me in the past where I wear, you know, whatever sweatpants from high school still because they're insanely comfortable and they give me good memories.
Yeah.
Well, not of high school, but of just being younger because I hated high school. But I was purchased a really silky nightie from Victoria's Secret. Never wore it. However, it still got the tag on.
Still, good move.
Yeah,
well,
take her shopping.
One thing I can say for that in general is that when your relationship does, you want your relationship to be comfortable, but you don't want to stop trying for one another.
Right,
so it's pretty indicative of like a lot of other things that do happen typically in relationships when you do get comfortable. You stop trying to take her out on dates and like woo her a little bit and the courting stops and then the sweatpants get worn and then you're like in Friday night watching TV mode for like 3 years in a row and sex is gone and flirtation's gone. So I think if you start to notice sweatpants, then what you can do is you stop wearing sweatpants first of all and tell your girlfriend that instead of sitting on the couch next Thursday, you're going to be taking her out for dinner.
Yeah,
and she better dress up and look
really
cute.
Take her out, you know, and she's going to get ready for you and she's going to look just as beautiful as you remembered her when you first met her. But just take her out and create that and then I guarantee you she'll probably start getting more dressed up around you too. And you'll have some great sex that night. So
absolutely.
I love going on hot date nights where you both get ready and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, oh, look at you.
Yeah, like, look at us.
Look at us.
Dress up.
Yeah.
You look fantastic with straight hair. Exactly. Yeah. I love it. Okay, last question. She didn't have an orgasm the first time we slept together. Do you think she'll give me a mulligan or did I blow it?
No, dude.
No. You'll get another mulligan.
Yeah.
Because orgasms for women are not as important as they are for men.
And they're not as common either. It's like, you know, we can have sex a lot and I'm still satisfied. Not as satisfied, mind you.
Well, apparently only 45% of women can have internal orgasms. That's a statistic that I looked up 7 years ago, so I don't know if it's changed.
It's probably gone down.
Maybe. I bet you. I'm sure. Yeah. But for me, my first two partners that I had, I wasn't having orgasms. I had no idea how to have one. I was so uncomfortable and insecure with those guys that I've never had an orgasm before. So, but I still enjoyed my time with them. I liked the intimacy. I liked everything else that we were doing. I loved kissing. I liked all of it. It didn't amount to an orgasm. It always felt good, but it wasn't like an orgasm. And then when I had my first one, I was like, what was that?
Amazing. Sex is great, even when it's bad sex. Sex is just sex. How often do you get to have sex for some people?
Sex is bad sex sometimes.
Do you have a lot of sex with your partner?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you could, but for the people that don't have much sex and all of a sudden they got sex, it's like, hey, you got some sex, buddy.
But he's talking about the first time we slept together. Is he like screwed afterwards?
No, because you guys don't, a lot of it is sex gets better when you have more sex with a partner. You get more comfortable with each other. You know, you have less walls up. So the more they have sex with each other, the more comfortable she's going to feel, the more relaxed she's going to feel. And then you could start getting orgasms out of her if she is even capable of orgasms.
Like you're milking her or something?
Yeah. Well, what about some tips? Like maybe trying to like get inside the bedroom with them for a second. Looking at it from both people's perspectives, understanding what is going on the first time that you're having sex, like how uncomfortable it is and the insecurities and not sure where to touch someone and not knowing their spot.
I think a lot of factors. If you set the mood, right, maybe like a little candles, a little bit of good, you know, sex music, and really just take your time with it. And you know what? Lead up to the foreplay is so important. Many guys go straight to the pump, and you cannot go straight to the pump. You got to prime the pump. So it's like the foreplay.
Yeah, like when you get gas, you have to then put in your credit card first, and you got to like put in your zip code, and then all of a sudden the gas is like, press the button. You're like, press.
And while you're pumping gas, take your time to wash the windows on the car. Like really, like.
And put a lot of money in the tank.
Yeah,
exactly. Fill it up. Every metaphor possible. Yeah. This is an amazing metaphor, actually. Yeah. I'm picturing it and liking it.
Prime the pump, boys.
I'm literally, and the longer you wait, the more she wants the pump to come.
That's why it's true. Absolutely.
So when it does come, it's like,
that's why they're playing music at gas stations.
Is that what it sounds like?
To get people in the mood. Wow. Okay, so Brian, that was a good question. So basically, we're saying you did not blow it. Do not worry. She will come back for more. Well, that's it for this episode. If you guys have any questions, please ask them. We want to hear what you want to know, and we want to give you an honest female perspective. So send your questions into ask@askwomenpodcast.com. Also, we are starting a new segment called Analyze This, where we are going to break down and analyze all of your sticky situations with women. Texts you're getting, emails you're getting. You can even record yourself interacting with a woman, and we will break it down for you. Again, send it to ask@askwomenpodcast.com.
Yeah, and remember you're asking because that's the name of the show. And follow us on Twitter at @askwomenpodcast.
There will be a new podcast up every Tuesday, you guys, so keep listening, and we love you. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Ask Women podcast. Go to podcastone.com next week for a brand new show.